You're listening to the Jubilee Montreal podcast. Jubilee Montreal is a Christian church located in downtown Montreal that exists to share the good news as a spiritual family for holistic transformation. For more information on Jubilee Montreal, visit us online at www.jblmontreal.org.
Good morning, everybody. If we haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, my name is Angelica. And I will be speaking today, thank you, about prayer. Sidao. Yes. La prière. That's it. That's all I got. It is like a new language, you know? You kind of just have to say this first word and kind of feel uncomfortable, but that's okay. You'll get used to it. So Jesus, thank you for this day. Father, thank you so much for our lives. Thank you so much for an opportunity to get together and to come and just be encouraged about life, to get to know you better. I pray, Father, that you would meet us now. I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts would be attentive to you, that you'd make us sensitive to your presence here, you make us sensitive to your voice, and that you would move away any obstacle that may be in between us so that we can hear you and we can feel your love, and that you would then, through your love, transform us. In Jesus' name. So you got, everybody's got the piece of paper? All right, so first I'm going to give you a few minutes so you read it. Read the scripture for now. The questions, we'll talk about them later. So just read the scripture to yourself for a minute at first, and then discuss with whoever's next to you, and I'll tell you when we'll be done. Now I want you to consider the following questions that I'm going to ask and put on the screen. Do you pray? You don't have to tell anybody. Just this is for you to think about. What do you pray about? How much do you enjoy prayer? I'm leaving time because it might not be so evident at first. So, prayer, one more question. What would make it more enjoyable for you? What would make prayer more enjoyable? All right, hopefully that, keep that in the back of your mind as we're going to talk here. So prayer is, Wikipedia says, is an invocation or act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship. So to it's something we say something we say to try and like activate conversation or communication or connection with an object of worship through deliberate communication. So prayer is not exclusive to Christians or followers of Jesus. Actually, all religions include some kind of practice that is considered prayer. Even people who would say they're atheist or non-spiritual at all can do practices that are prayers. In fact, I was just listening to a book on prayer by Philip Yancey, and he quotes an example of Russians. So in the old Russia, when Stalin was in power, they would command, the government would command people to pray to Stalin. So you can pray to a person, and it's just, the prayers were kind of like, are you feeling tired at work and you don't feel like working today? Think of Stalin, and it would make you feel motivated to work. And like, prayer is a really simple thing, right? Like, you would probably never call that prayer, but in effect, what is happening is you are thinking of someone or communicating with something that you're recognizing has more power than you and can give you, can help you in some way, can give you something that you need. So prayer, there are different kinds of prayer. Prayer can involve thanksgiving, praise, petition, lament, confession. In the Bible, we see all these kinds of prayer, intercessory prayer as well, other kinds. But at its basics, like, prayer is communication with whoever we worship. I'm going to be basing everything I say on this passage. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, or even if you haven't, you might have heard this before. But I pray that God will give us new ears to hear, and maybe eyes to see something that we haven't seen in this passage before. And it reads like this. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. We, like the disciples in this story, want to learn to pray because being a disciple means you want to be like Jesus. You want the life of Jesus. So it means doing what Jesus did and what he commanded us to do. And so Jesus prayed, and he also commanded us to pray. So that's the reason why we're going to talk about prayer. It's simple. So how did Jesus pray, and how did he teach his disciples to pray? There are different accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible. All the four Gospels tell us what Jesus' life was like. What did he do? What did he teach? In these accounts, we see Jesus prayed in different ways, at different times and different settings, and about different things. For example, he prayed in public. He prayed in private. It says, like, in lonely places. He prayed with others. He prayed through the night, during the daytime, for himself, for his disciples, for his future disciples, us, for his enemies. He prayed before he made decisions, like before he was choosing his 12 disciples. He prayed before going through tough things, like before he was arrested. And he prayed during the toughest moment of his life, which is when he was on the cross. So pretty much Jesus prayed all the time. Anytime is a good time to pray. Jesus had no formula. In fact, you don't see him repeating any of his prayers, really. Like, he repeats it, sometimes he does repeat things to, like, say, this is really important, and it's almost for our benefit, it's for the benefit of the people who are listening to him pray. But at most, he and his disciples referred to or used, so he had no formula, but at most they would sometimes refer to Psalms or older scriptures that were prayers of other people, just to refer to them or use parts of them to kind of, that they would probably, these parts expressed something they wanted to say, but in better words, right? And so there is no formula to prayer. Jesus didn't have any formulas. Because prayer is not like an incantation kind of thing. It's not like a sorcerer, you know, like watching Harry Potter. You're like, oh, you have to say these things. And if you have to read the book and say the prayer, like these words in this order and pronounce them right, or the thing you want to accomplish is not going to happen. And that's not what Jesus taught. That's not Christian prayer. That's not the prayer life of Jesus. So this is not a lesson, neither mine today, or the, as you read this, don't take this. It's not a lesson about which magic words to use to get God to do what you want to do. You know, it's not like, how do we manipulate God to give us what we want or we need? It's not like if we don't say these words, God's not going to answer. He says over and over in scripture that God knows the heart. So it's about what's in your heart. So I think the point of this passage is that Jesus is once again trying to make things simple for his disciples by showing them what's truly important. Right, like if you remember some of the sermons in the past 7 weeks have been about moving from something to something, and that's what we call discipleship, adopting more of the life of Jesus, being transformed into the image of Jesus. And over, he tries to simplify what it really means and to highlight really what is life about, what is the kingdom of God about, what is eternal life about. Don't care about the things of the world. Care about this and redefining life and redefining what's important. This is once again Jesus doing that, in my opinion. And it's such a short prayer too. Like it's simple and short. So one thing I want to note before we get into more of like what he's saying here is, when was this taught? When does this disciple ask him, hey, by the way, can you teach us how to pray? Is this comes well into their journey with Jesus. Like they had already been called disciples. They had been walking with him. They had been seeing him teach and debate with people who had were experts in the scriptures. They had seen him deal with crowds of needy and curious people. They had seen him deal with critics. They had seen him forgive people's sin, heal leprosy, heal paralysis, call others to follow him, hang out with tax collectors, choose his disciples, resurrect dead people with his words and touch. They had seen him travel around many villages and towns proclaiming good news, dignify women, confuse the religious authorities, calm a storm by rebuking the wind and waters, free people from demonic oppression, send them on assignments, multiply food to feed thousands, change appearance. They had seen so much of Jesus. They had been walking with him every day of their lives for a while, and they didn't ask. It's just curious to me that they don't go and ask him about these other things, like, hey, how did you do that? How come that when you were praying, your appearance changed? Or, hey, Jesus, teach us how to do that. Or, Jesus, teach us how to resurrect dead people. It's really like, I don't know how to do that. How did you do that? But they go and ask him how to pray. And they ask him after, like while they're walking with him, while they've been seeing him do these things. And that show that obviously there's something special about Jesus, right? And they asked him to pray, to teach them right after he was done praying. He just finished praying and he goes and asks him, teach us how to pray. Other, in Jewish cultures, it's normal to pray. It's something that the culture does already. Rabbis teach their disciples, the people they're training, how to pray. And it seems like John has taught his disciples how to pray. So it would be normal that Jesus, if he's a teacher, he would also teach his disciples how to pray. So what was Jesus' point? I'm going to make 2 points. First one is that prayer is vital. Prayer is vital because it's communication, right? So if you want a relationship with anybody, you would probably want to learn to communicate with them. You'd probably want to spend time talking to them and listening to them so that you get to know them better and so that you know, how does that person think? How does that person feel? What's in their hearts? What matters to them? And it's the same with God. So before this, I'm going to get back to this point, but first, because if you're new to Christianity, or this is, even actually for all of us, who you pray to is who you worship, is who your God is. Jesus prayed to the Father. So again, the prayer, the practice of prayer is a common thing, and what makes, even for people who wouldn't call it prayer, but what makes prayer different for disciples of Jesus is also what makes it powerful, and is the difference is who we pray to. Because who is our object of worship? Who is our God? Jesus pointed us to the Father, and so we pray to the Father. Like, that's the first thing he says here, is pray like this: Father, hallowed be your name. The Father is God, and God is the Father. Only he is God, and only he is able to answer, and only he is worthy of our devotion. The word Father also shows the kind of relationship that we have with our God. We approach God in conversation as our Father. It's an intimate thing to go to a God, our God, the God of the universe, and call him Father. This shows the kind of relationship Jesus had with God, with the Father, and the kind of relationship he wants for us to have. And he said this over and over in his prayers, that his like biggest, like most passionate thing was, God, that they would be one with one another, that they would be one with you, they would be one with me. It's like this very close, intimate relationship. It's a healthy, like any healthy relationship, healthy, growing, deepening relationship involves communication. And if we want to get back to even the last Sunday message, Michael spoke about abiding, about staying connected, and that requires communication. So prayer is how we let God know what's in our hearts. So again, communication is a two-way street. We talk, and God talks. He listens to us, and we listen to him. So when we speak, we let God know what's in our hearts. He already knows, so it's not for his benefit, but it is important for us to say it, to confess it, to hear ourselves say things that we think or feel. And it's also an act of humility. And this is very important, because it takes humility and courage to say what you're thinking about, or how you, to be honest about how you feel or what you think or what you need. It takes a lot of humility. To ask anyone for something you need requires humility. It actually sends the message to the person who's hearing you, who you're asking for something, that you need them. It's like, it's recognizing that you need God even for the things you think you can do yourself. It's like saying that you love God and want him involved in the conversations happening in your mind. You want him to know what you're thinking and want him to change your thinking to be more like what he's thinking. Prayer is vital, just as conversation is to any relationship. And we already know that without a relationship with God, there is no real life. If we love life, we love staying connected to God like the branches to the vine. So we will want to pray without ceasing. It's about abiding like Jesus. We should know that it is true that we can do nothing apart from God. It may look like we're doing fine ourselves, just fine, or like we're doing lots of good things without communicating to God, with God. But in the reality of the kingdom of God, if we are to trust Jesus' word for it, we are doing nothing. A branch that is disconnected might look fine for a couple of days. We may feel like, oh yeah, I can survive without being connected to the vine. But the reality is it's slowly dying. It doesn't know it yet. The second point I want to make is that prayer is transformative. Prayer is for mission as well. It's very important for mission. It's transformative. So Jesus has, his mission on earth was to transform, to bring his God's children back, to make a way back to the Father for us. So his mission is being accomplished in me and in every single one of you. And then we participate in that. We become participants now of that by helping others see Jesus and recognize him for who he is, and now be on the path, on the way of Jesus towards the Father, right? So In the scripture, it says here, the second thing he says is, your kingdom come. Again, Jesus is trying to say what is important. And it's the most important. It was Jesus' whole life to see God's kingdom come again on earth as it was before. We messed it all up, but, you know, to restore the kingdom of God, to see us restored to true humanity as God had intended it to be. If we seek in other scriptures that we also talked about, like I think 2 weeks ago when I spoke moving from scarcity to abundance, we read about how if we seek first the kingdom, everything else will be added to us. So Jesus is once again just restating that his priority is that our prayer should be that we should seek the kingdom. That should be the most important thing. And that is life-giving. Seeking the kingdom first will transform me. Now, let's get back to why is prayer a conversation? I think I made that point, but more importantly, what happens with the other part of the conversation? Like, we know how to speak, we can talk, and like, it can be uncomfortable perhaps, just kind of like it was uncomfortable for me try to say a word in Mandarin. It can be a little bit uncomfortable to say your first words to God because there's no one really sitting in front of you that you can see. And that can be a little strange at first, and you're not really sure, is somebody listening? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? It is a conversation, and it's like learning a new language. But if it is a conversation, and we can see in the scriptures too that Jesus also listened. He heard God's voice, and the scripture promises that His sheep hear His voice. We can actually hear God's voice, and that's how it becomes a conversation and not just an incantation, right? Not just, I'm going to say these things and this will happen. It's more, what do you want to do? What's in your heart? How are we transformed? Basically, the point is, how are we transformed? We are transformed as we engage in conversation with God, and we hear what's in His heart. And those knowing Him, knowing what He's trying to say through His words, change our hearts and change the way we think. It will also transform your desires. And that's when prayer becomes super powerful, because then you really see the answers to your prayers. Because sometimes we pray for things that are our desires, but they may not be God's desires. And so then we start asking God, you said that anything we ask for, we will get. But how come it's not happening? So could it be that there's a problem that our desires are not aligned with God's desires? So as He transforms your desires and you start asking God for what He desires to, and now it's become your desire to, then you will see God deliver what you're asking for, because what you're asking for is what He wants to do anyway. You may also hear Him actually calling you to be the answer to your own prayers. You may hear Him say, do this. And you will see the answer to your prayers. Do this for yourself or do this for someone else. Sometimes you'll also hear Him or see Him say no to your prayer. And even that will be a blessing. When our desires are aligned with God's, even a no is a good thing. A conversation can also take place in one moment, right? Like you sit down, you have a conversation from beginning to end. But sometimes conversations take longer and you can't finish a conversation in one sitting. And you kind of have to come and revisit the topic. Or perhaps you start talking about something, but then you start talking, like it somehow leads to talking about other things. And I don't know if we all think about prayer in that kind of dynamic situation where how are your prayers? How do you pray? How do you talk to God? Is it like a, hey God, good morning, thanks for this, thank you, bye. Like, you know, I want this today, thank you, okay. And could it be that we need more dynamic conversations with God? Could it be that Jesus said to ask and keep on asking, because it keeps us engaged in conversation with God? Because it keeps us, he says, pray, like ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, because it makes us persevere in conversation. It makes us continue to direct our thoughts and needs to God. Is it possible that sometimes we don't let God say anything because we talk too much? I think we also find prayer not so enjoyable, or we don't see the point of it, or we don't see the fruit of it, because sometimes we don't know how to hear God's voice. And so if it is supposed to be a conversation, but we're only hearing our own voice, it is going to get boring at one point. It's no longer feels like a relationship, right? I think it's crucial that as disciples of Jesus, that we need to learn how to hear God's voice. It's vital, and everyone can hear God's voice. And it doesn't sound like there's not just one way to hear God's voice. God speaks in many different ways, but we can all hear him. There are lots of examples. I'm leaving a lot of things hanging in the air, because we're actually going to end on a practical note here, so we get to practice something and try something. But if you've never heard God's voice, and if you don't know how to hear God's voice, how does God speak to you? I just want you to be open-minded today. I ask that you would just give God the benefit of the doubt, because it just says in his words, not just me who's saying it, and it's not just like some one person's experience, but if it says in the word that God's sheep hear his voice, and we want to be in his flock, then we should be able to hear his voice. So just be open to that. The last point I'll make here is that prayer is simple. And it's focused on what matters, even short at times. So like in the examples of Jesus, sometimes he prayed really short prayers, like here, or sometimes he prayed all through the night. It's just conversation. It's just the nature of conversation. That's how it goes. Sometimes you can talk to someone on the phone for hours, and sometimes you're communicating one quick thing. It's asking our Father for help with the simplest but most important things. Like here, what did they ask for? They asked for their daily bread. They asked for a key thing in the kingdom, which is to forgive our sins and to, as we forgive others, and to lead us not into temptation. So we ask for what we need each day, and we ask to be forgiven as we forgive everyone. And even in other passages, this is not here, but in other passages, Jesus also instructs everyone who's listening, all of his disciples, to pray for those who mistreat you. So Jesus taught us and asked us to pray even for those we find hard to love, or who are not loving as well. Jesus also taught to pray. Here it also strikes me that he says us, right? Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. And I find that interesting, because most of my life I've been taught, or what I've heard about prayer is we ask for ourselves. I want this, God. I want to see this happen. And it's I, me, myself, and I. And I think this is different. What Jesus is doing here is different. And there's a radical humility again here. I want to highlight that the fact that they're asking for their daily bread is interesting, because we don't necessarily have to ask God for our food. Like maybe not everyone in this room has to do that, but there are people who live in that situation. But when we are past that situation, we have resolved those needs, we kind of forget that it all ends up coming from God anyway, and that it could, you know, our jobs could fail us any day. But that even the simplest things come from God. Every good gift comes from above, comes from God. It also shows a radical connection to others and a radical sense of community. The fact that we're asking not just for ourselves, but we're asking for all of us. And it's the opposite of individualism. So Jesus didn't pray because it was an obligation. He prayed because it was a necessity. It's like water. Like, for example, I'll start a series of self-confessions here. But when I'm told I have to drink 8 glasses of water a day, everything in me wants to prove that I don't need it. I don't need to do that. I really struggle with like a sense of like, this is what you must do. And I will kind of like my daughter do the opposite of what I'm told. So, and it's true. I could probably go a day without drinking that much water, but I will drink water when I need it, right? Like we all get thirsty. So at some point, I'm going to go and get what I need. What's the difference though? If I don't move much, I won't need as much water. If I'm out in the sun all day and it's hot, I'm going to thirst for water like every 20 minutes. Like today, it's a pretty hot day. Take your water out when you go out after this. It's almost like there's no amount of water that is enough, right? So it's not prayers like this. It's like what gives you life, because it keeps you connected to the source of life. And it's not an obligation. It's like, does somebody have to tell you to breathe? Like, no, you just breathe because you need it. And it's the same thing with prayer. Like, we pray because we need it. We need God. I think we don't pray more, some of us, because we don't need more of God. We think we don't, at least. And maybe prayer is not satisfying or enjoyable because we don't hear God saying much or answering many of our prayers. So what if God is not answering because he's tired of hearing us talk about ourselves and he doesn't want selfish, spoiled children? Because he's love after all, and love is not about themselves. God didn't send Jesus on earth to like save himself, right? He sent Jesus on a mission to save us. He gave his life for us. He didn't protect his life. God is not a God who's about himself. He's about loving others. So if we are to be the children of this God, and if we are to be the disciples of this Jesus, then we need to be about what he's about. And he's about love, which is always about others. It's always about what's best for others. So if we're mostly directing our prayers to God about us and what we want and what we need and what we don't have, then could it be that God doesn't answer because he cares about the fact that our hearts are getting selfish and that's going to choke the life out of us? He may be trying to talk to us about other things. Or could it be that we don't run to prayer because we are not on mission, or at least not on God's mission? Maybe you are on a mission, but it's not with God you're on a mission on, and if you're not praying. I believe if we're on God's mission of loving people by spreading his good news, we will need prayer because we will need God. Prayer will be vital if we are following Jesus, because truth is we cannot love God and love our neighbor, which are his first commandments. He's like, if you reduce all that God wants us to do, all that Jesus taught us was that his purpose is for us to love God and to love our neighbor, which is the same thing. If you love God, you will love everyone around you, let alone love our enemies. When we can't do that when we're disconnected from God, because he is pure love. He is the only source of pure love. He is the source of life and love. So we can't do what God is asking us to do if we're disconnected from him, and we can't be connected to him if we don't talk to him. So let me ask you, what are most of your prayers about? I'm asking you these questions because this is what God's been doing with me. Not because I've never failed here or I've never asked, I've never been selfish. But what are most of your prayers about? When he asked me that question, I was shocked to say that the honest truth, and if you try to trace back your prayers, my prayers were mostly about myself. So we will pray about what matters to us. And at that moment, where I was at, where I've been at, is I've been, only I matter. And that's not the world that that God wants. And that's not what gives me life. So no wonder I've been feeling depressed. Or like I have no purpose. Because if I make life full about myself, then that's a pretty small life. So if you pray mostly about yourself, I encourage you, just like me, that we need to remember that Jesus promised to take care of you. Jesus promised to take care of us. I know I need to remember this. And if you're not on mission, because like me, you're afraid that if you care more for others and you start caring less for yourself, if you live your life for others, then no one will care about you. If you believe that, you need to hear God saying that he loves you and he will never forsake you. But then you need to do something about that. When you hear him saying that, it calls you to something. And it's that now you can leave your life behind in his hands and he will take and trust that he will take care of you. You can show that you trust him by going where he's asking you to go and doing what he's asking you to do. So he asked me to direct my prayers unto other people and to come and try to teach something. I promise that when you do this, when you step out, when you go where he's calling you to go, and when you do what he's asking you to do, in the midst of that mission, you will need him more than ever, and you will want to pray more, and your prayers will be more enjoyable, because you will need to hear his voice. And what happens when we're on mission, meaning when we're living for others, because trying to love someone, this is how it works. Mission is just loving other people. And loving people is really hard. Like loving for real is really hard. Like, I love my daughter. She's 2 years old. And who doesn't love little kids and little babies, right? They're the cutest thing. They haven't done anything. Why wouldn't you love kids? They're so beautiful. But it's super hard because they have needs like all the time. And if I tend to her needs, sometimes it means not tending to my needs. And that gets super hard because now what happens? I mean, I'm not saying that you don't need to care for yourself. God will call you. If you need something, God will, and God knows, he will tell you, do this for yourself. Find help. Or he will send someone, like he's been sending me a very special person to come and take care of my daughter so I have a break. So it's not that. It's that if you don't put yourself first, you put others first. You love like God loves. That is really hard to do. And I think when we're on mission and we're actually trying to love someone else like God loves us, you'll realize that your love is limited. And then you'll need God because your love is not enough. What happens in the midst of mission and what happens when you're trying to love someone like God loves us is that you realize, you get to know yourself. You know your limits. You realize how little love is actually when you compare what you can give versus what God's given, the kind of love that he shows. So now you need to find out. If you want to continue, you either give up because you can't do this, or you say, I want to do it, but I can't do it, which is the truth. So God, I need you. So you go and find more of what you need. This was the life of the disciples. They asked him how to pray after deciding to leave the lives they had in order to spend their days with him, learn from him in the hope that they would become like him and transform lives like him. After seeing him display great power and wisdom and compassion and hearing him talk about the kingdom of God to the poor and to the Pharisees alike, after seeing him invite the rejects of society to be a part of his kingdom. Although prayer should be a desire, maybe sometimes it needs to begin as a discipline. Discipline and perseverance will hopefully develop into a desire when you see how God answers and his answers increase your ability to trust him and as you depend on him to transform you. And as you start to see the difference that it makes in you.
Thank you for listening to the Jubilee Montreal podcast. For more information on Jubilee Montreal, visit us online at www.jblmontreal.org.